Good evening, you fine folks. It is Tuesday today, and it's been a good long run, a very good long run. We've very much enjoyed doing these Arrow short film specials. It feels like only yesterday we last spoke. Absolutely,
it's good fun, man. I mean, we only normally have an excuse to do this once a week, so being able to tell the wives, we've been sent these things, we just have to do it.
Yeah, and getting the wives to watch them as well. So it's always fun.
I haven't done that yet.
You should try it. You should try it.
Yeah, I will. Maybe for the next batch.
All right, for sure. Hopefully there will be a next batch. There usually always is. But the most recent one that we have watched, I always like to watch it before going live. That way we get an actual, it's fresh in your memory. But the most recent one for us has been Anatomy Maestro by Drew Maxwell, who is joining us here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Drew Maxwell.
Sad. Almost. Hey, Kevin and J-Mac.
Hey, how's it going?
So nice to meet you guys, and I really appreciate this.
Hey, ditto. And we absolutely love being able to speak to not only just interesting people, but interesting people with a talent that, I mean, you guys are the guys that create the stuff that we love. It's what brings us all together, isn't it? So for us, it's always a treat to have a guest on that's in the industry. But we always start off when we speak to someone like yourself asking, I'm not sure if you're already aware of this, but what are some of your favorite films?
So I have so many favorite films. I'd say my four on Letterboxd right now are currently Wake and Fright, which is an Australian wild bonkers movie. Have you guys seen that?
Nope.
But it's gone on the list of things to watch.
It's like a thriller about beer and gambling. It's incredible. Directed from the director of the original Rambo, his best film. So I'd say Wake and Fright, Ken Russell's The Devils.
Yeah, I've not seen that. I've heard of it. It's very, very famous, but I've still to see that one as well.
Incredible. Which I think it was banned in the UK for a bit.
That's why I've heard of it.
Yeah. I'd say Rear Window. Sonny and Jed, the Sergio Cabucci film. But, you know, I love everything like Robert Altman's Shortcuts, Clockwork Orange, Taxi Driver, the Godfather films. Mm. Then, you know, of course, the Dario Argento, Giallo films, Tenombre. And it varies, you know. One day I could watch, like a Noah Baumbach film. The next day, a Dario Argento film.
That's a very eclectic mix. It's good to be that way, though. There's nothing worse than, you know, I've got a friend of mine who, like, he only watches action films. That's all he watches, and it's like, come on, man, just open your mind up a little bit. Let's watch something that's black and white.
Open the palette.
You love it. Matthew Min actually comes in straight with a comment saying, "Really enjoyed the short. Reminded me a wee bit of the Aussie movie The Loved Ones."
I haven't seen that movie. Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate that. I love Australian cinema. As I stated, Wake and Fright is like my all-time favorite. It's terrific.
Did you like the Wolf Creek movies?
I was just going to say,
haven't seen them, but I know of them. And when I was a kid, it was marketed like crazy in America. I think it did pretty well over here.
Yeah. I think the first one's really, I mean, it's got as dark kind of funny moments, but the second one leans so much more into the humor. Still very sick humor, but it's definitely worth a watch.
I'm gonna add those to my list. I've always wanted to see them.
Yeah,
it's like pre-streaming that movie too, because mm-hmm. I think there's live streaming involved in the film, which is really cool and still resonates with the times of today, the unfortunate times.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, we're here to talk about your movie. So let's do that for a little while. So Anatomy Maestro. This was a curveball of a film, man. The phrase that went through my mind when I was watching it was, "It seems the tables have turned, Mr. Bond." So where did you get your inspiration to make this?
So the way this movie came about is, it's pretty funny. It was put together very quickly, very fast. Actually, I owe this all to a childhood friend of mine, Lily Mars, who was the cinematographer of the film. And Lily and I, we've been friends since we were 10 years old. And she randomly reached out to me and she said, hey, I have this camera package with these lens for over the weekend. I would love to shoot something with you. And we've always wanted to work together. She's just, you know, we've both been very busy. So I said, all right, I'll try to write something 5-6 pages and let's try to shoot it. And that's really what happened. And it's actually a very low budget film. The camera package she had was a good package, but it was for free. You know, I've known her for so long. And we've always wanted to work together. And it really brought back those memories of us playing as kids, whether it be or basketball. It was a tremendous ride. It was really wonderful. There were so many things that happened on this film. You know, for example, the person I had for the lead actress, Zoe, she ended up getting very sick the day of the shoot. So I placed an actor we were shooting the surgery stuff on Friday night, and on Friday day I lost the lead actress. And I contacted my friend Addie, who's also great, and she ended up owning that role and really doing it justice.
Yeah, yeah, she definitely did. I don't know. These are weird doing the interviews about short films. I mean, when it's a feature, you can kind of dance around the plot and not spoil too much. It's really hard to do that with the shorts because it's compressed into such a small amount of time. But the actor who plays what would be the killer.
He's actually he's from Ireland, full on Irish.
Oh, nice.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Ed Malone.
Yeah, he was
fantastic. There was little bits at the beginning that kind of just when he was looking in the mirror and stuff, it reminded me of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh yeah, that movie's
yeah, and it's definitely got a 70s, 80s feel about it.
Oh, definitely, especially with the grain as well.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, those are the films that are the best. I really love those kinds of movies and wanted to do justice of a kind of a new age giallo film.
Yeah,
no, definitely is that. They have a couple comments here. Ev says powerful. Says I played a lot of doctors in my day. And Janice says, "Hey guys, I'm here." Hey Janice. Janice is over in Indiana. Yeah, she's a good American friend of ours. So Ed Malone, definitely great cast in there, because before you kind of flip where the story goes, he totally looks like the guy that's about to get a chap on the door. He looks like someone that's about to kill you, especially just how he's presented. I think, is that, do you know Ed personally? Is he
a
friend of yours? Yeah.
So I know Ed very well. There's a film that I wrote the story for and I produced called Red Gloves, directed by my friend Santiago Saba, and it's doing very well in the genre horror festivals. And he was in that film actually as Cooper, and Santiago gave me the idea. He said, what if you kind of do this little anthology thing where Cooper...
I love that.
It's almost Cooper from a multiverse. I mean, to tell you the truth, Ed is like the sweetest guy ever. He's actually a comedian, and he's very funny, funny as hell.
Nice.
You could find his show on YouTube, Ed Malone Freak Show. And Ed and I, we grew up, we had a great bond on the set of Red Gloves. And I said, I would love to work with you. I produced another film called Silent Yoga. And I said to Ed, like, you know, I produced films with you, but I would love to direct you in something. And he agreed. Mm. And he kind of told me stories of his past, of back in the day, and he's very open about this. You know, back in the day, he was a struggling alcoholic, and he just and I mentioned Dario Argento, and he said, "Oh, during my days, I watched opera, and I was just drinking all day watching this movie." And that's something we kind of incorporated in this film. He's been sober though for a very long time, and yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, he's a great actor, a great comedian, and a great guy. And from
he definitely does. His performance definitely stands out. He'd be perfectly cast in a film that I've seen quite a few films that are about, you know, they take the real killers and they make like almost Netflix has done it quite a lot now with what's his name, Jeffrey Dahmer and stuff like that. He'd be really good at playing a serial killer. He just has a really good
vibe. For sure.
Yeah. So one of those things that you don't know if you take that as a compliment or not.
And the nicest way possible. Like what he brought to the role was great, because sometimes, you know what I mean? You can sometimes you can get a specific type of killer that just doesn't creep you out in the nicest way possible. Do you know what I mean? He's done it justice is what.
Oh, he really did it justice. He owned that role, and he's amazing, because in real life he really wouldn't hurt a fly. He's really
That's what's perfect about it, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
There's what's the word I'm looking for? There's like an inner child like vibe to him also that's there. Like, you would get that either he is gonna like try and carve you up by a coat hanger, or he's just gonna like play with you. And I mean like where your train set. Do you know what I mean? There's a fondness there. Without him saying anything.
For sure.
Which, again, there's not any lines in this at all, right?
No, not at all. And he could honestly, he could play, I really believe if someone gave him any kind of role, he could play it, you know.
Yeah, I could see him. Maybe not RoboCop.
Actually, it'd be the perfect size for the suit, because apparently that, I mean, you can't put a big guy inside that suit. It looks ridiculous. Anyway, where was the decision to leave it dialogue free? I mean, it's not a silent film by any means, but it's dialogue free.
Honestly, that was a budget thing, because great sound mixers are a little costly. Even if you get a discount, when you're making a short film like that, I feel it puts a lot into the budget. And I also realize, you know, Argento and a lot of the filmmakers who've made giallos, they dub them, like they do the sound after the fact in post. Yeah. And I was like, well, let me try that out. I was very inspired by another filmmaker named Ben Brewer, who made Ben Brewer did VFX on Everything Everywhere All at Once. He just did the feature Arcadian, but he also made a short film called Folded Ocean. And in that film, I went to a live screening and he talked about it, and he used an app called Soundly, which is a sound design app. And it's a great app. It's like over 50,000 different sounds. And I used a lot of those sounds for this film with the use of sound design. I mean, I love dialogue, but also at the end of the day, you know, particularly for shorts, I love a good film without it.
Mm. Yeah. I like when people do make certain sounds, like screams and laughs and things like that, the sound is disjointed from what you're actually seeing on screen, which adds like another element of just wildness to what you're actually watching. Mm-hmm. Let's go. What camera was this shot on, actually? Do you know what the camera?
Yeah,
was?
Yeah. So this is crazy. So we filmed for 3 days. The first day was Ed in the bedroom, which is my room that I'm in now. Then on that, it was a night shoot. Then on that same night, we filmed the scene where Zoe tases him in the hallway. After that, we filmed the carving scene in the apartment. And, you know, a lot of these actors, a lot of my crew, I'm good friends with. So we really did like kind of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, very long shoot. It was from, I believe, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And luckily everyone was in good spirits. You know, we started out with Ed in the bedroom, then the hallway stuff, then the surgery stuff, which was at a different apartment, Una's apartment. As for cameras, the first 3 days were shot on Arri Alexa with ultra prime lens. However, all the flashback scenes you guys see is stuff I added many months later. I think we shot the film in April around this month last year. And then I was thinking to myself, I want people, the audience, to understand that she was a medical student. And I had shot something that's not in the movie where Zoe is on the phone and she gets a message that she's failed medical school. And I was like, this doesn't work. I was like, all right, well, I work at an office for a public defender company, and they'll let me use their office to film. So I was like, why don't I film flashbacks? And I actually, all the flashbacks, except for the gun range, are filmed on this handy cam. This is a new age handy cam.
Wow.
Very camera. I'm actually, we can go into this later. I'm filming my first feature with two of these cameras. But so the flashback scenes when she's in the classroom on the computer and Eric Paker is teaching her, that's all on this camera. The gun range, when I called them, they told me I could bring this. When I got there, they said I couldn't use a camera. They don't know who said that to me, but I could use an iPhone. So all the gun range stuff is shot on an iPhone, actually.
What was the reason behind that? You can't use the camera, but you can use a phone.
Maybe it was because the other customers there felt like even this camera is so small, it's very inconspicuous, but maybe they felt it was big. And an iPhone is less, conspicuous.
I suppose, yeah. Everybody films everything.
It was a weird thing, but I was like, all right, fine. We'll do it on the iPhone. And with the people around me, I said, who has the latest iPhone? And my friend Max, he had the 14, and we did it there, yeah.
Do you know what's funny?
You're not the first filmmaker to use an iPhone for a shot in a movie. Scorsese did it for Wolf of Wall Street. He had to get one shot of the no smoking light coming on in the plane. And he forgot to do it, and he used an iPhone.
You don't really notice. It's not about the camera.
You say that, we cover a lot of conventions in the UK, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people like ourselves, like for traveling podcasts or whatever, and they do interviews with guests. A lot of the celebrities will say no to requests when they see someone standing there like this doing the video. But when we bring our camera guy Seb, and he's got a full rig with a Black Magic 4K camera, they say yes. It's like there is something to the camera, right? And the setup.
It really is.
They take you more seriously, I think. And I think with the gun range, they probably thought, here, I don't want to be part of whatever this is, because they know it's something. But with a camera, it's just someone taking a video for social media, right?
Yeah.
I think that may be the case.
The phone, yeah. I mean, I feel it blended in well. And originally, the flashback stuff I had in color, it looked really good on color, but a filmmaker friend while I was editing suggested I do black and white, so it's not that much of that you guys wouldn't notice it so much. I really think these handy cams are extremely underrated cameras.
I didn't even know you could still get handy cams like that, honestly.
Yeah, they have the new age ones now, you know. Sony Canon makes them. The filmmaker Hong Sang-soo, he shoots his films on Handycam, and they get shown to Cannes Film Festival and New York Film Festival. Yeah. The zoom on these cameras are just impeccable. They're amazing.
Yeah. I have a wee DJI that I carry about, and it's about this size. Mm-hmm. And the stuff, because I actually run cinemas as well, so I created I do my own adverts for the cinema because it's independent, and I use the DJI to make my own adverts, and they play on the big cinema screen. You would never see any blemishes, which is incredible when you think about it. It's like $300-$400. I say bucks because I'm speaking to American. we call it pound over here in Scotland, but I'm aware that it's bucks, right?
Yeah.
Bucks is like everywhere.
I also like pound. You know, that movie Civil War was shot on a new DJI camera. That's where the camera is.
Was it actually?
Yeah, you could find it on YouTube, the behind the scenes, and it's
what?
A gimbal camera hybrid. It's kind of already built. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the camera is like $4,000. And I think they shot Sony Venice and the gimbal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also that movie, The Creator, was shot entirely on a Sony FX3. And as I grow as a filmmaker, I'm starting to understand that it doesn't so much matter what camera you have. As much as, hey, if I could take the Alexa for free, I'll take it. But you
know, of course. Yeah. Of course. Of course. I think it's just affordable now when you see what a lot of content creators are making on TikTok and on YouTube. It's at the point now where it's like it really is near the software, the hardware. It's literally what's in here. It's the creator, isn't it?
The lighting, the framing, the mind, the script. Yeah, the actors. Of course. I agree.
We have a couple comments here. Ev says, the world is full of secrets, an arty female centric love letter to slasher films with no killer and zero genre confines for the art crowd.
Oh wow, I really appreciate that.
And it says that's because Italian films had laws for live sound under Mussolini.
I think I knew that's crazy.
Mattyman says can't wait to see Arcadian.
Me too.
And Ev says the ways Gialli. It's dubbed in
Gialli.
Gialli. Sorry.
Kevin, is you're so bad with Italian. My God.
I am. It's a running joke on the show. Do you know what's funny? Sometimes we'll get a great film to watch, and then we get the director like yourself on, and their name is so unpronounceable, and I'm like, oh no, how did I do it? Drew Maxwell was a blessing. Right. However, J-Mac and I were saying, is it Vice or Weiss?
Weiss. Although Weiss sounds a little cooler, but yeah.
Right. Well, in Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know, Janet Weiss, and he always corrects her and goes, Vice, it's Weiss. So I was always like, God. So I suppose we did have it. We have it every time.
Yeah,
right?
You have everything right.
I found it very interesting that the style in which you shot this, it does have that old kind of grain. There's not a lot of films nowadays that feel the way that your film feels. I take it that comes from a love of that type of art that's within the film that you have, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the movie was shot on digital, but as you know, with today's technology and post, you can do grain overlays. I wanted to put some overlays because I really love the Giallo films. And also, I was happy to shoot it on digital. I mean, 16 would have been wonderful. But I feel like we haven't seen a Giallo shot on digital in years. I mean, I know Dark Glass is the Dario Argento one, but I'm talking, I guess, about America, general public. And, you know, this is something I feel there should be there with digital technology. Giallos could look like candy, you know, and however, I still added that green, and I agree. I feel it's great to see grainy films, and it's something that's kind of neglected a little. Some filmmakers are doing it. And I know that movie, The Holdovers, that was also shot on digital.
Yeah.
They transferred it to 35mm, then they threw overlays. I'm a great appreciation of the grain. I feel it caters towards the grittiness of this movie, and kind of adds the pop to the colors.
It's like the vinyl of film, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
absolutely. I go back and listen to some like Deep Purple records, and just putting the needle down in here, the best starts. There's just something to it. Eh? There's just really is something to it.
And we added some of those in the needle drops of the film.
I did hear that. I did.
Yeah.
It was very well put together. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Going back to the sound, there's a sequence where a woman is eating spaghetti. And it was probably one of the most horrible sounds I've ever heard in my life. It reminded me of like early Peter Jackson stuff.
Oh, cool. You know, like bad taste, stuff like that.
Bad taste, brain dead, stuff like that. It was just like a visceral... I mean, what sound can do to your spine? that horrible smooshing noise. I was like, oh, that's gross.
That's man. You eating a malam. Malam is a chewy...
Yeah, you can't eat chewy sweeties and not sound like that. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's just going to happen, you know?
If you ever need Foley sound, just get J-Mac to send you some audio recordings of him eating a malam.
Please do. I'm always looking for library. Yeah.
How do you get a credit in a film for that chewing sound, J-Mac?
It would probably be a Foley credit. Hey. Post sound Foley, J-Mac.
Malam mouth.
I would need to change. I would need to change my name to J. Maxwell Foley. There you go.
Janice says vinyl has made a comeback here recently. Well, I think it has for the last. Yeah, it has for quite some time now, hasn't it?
Yeah, maybe like 2012, 2010.
Yeah, I won't buy new vinyl. I'll only buy vinyl that's in a shop that someone's sold it on. Do you know what I mean? I like the old stuff. And then I'm not into buying like a new Lady Gaga album on vinyl. Screw
of course.
That.
There's so many thrift stores in New York that provide all those old editions and all that great stuff.
Yeah, there's history with it.
Yeah, there is a nice history. It's really nice to have it.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, just going back to your stylistic choices, I mean, it really... I mean, obviously you shot in New York and it looks like it's the 80s or 70s. So I was getting feelings of like Taxi Driver and even... Driller Killer came into my mind for some reason.
Driller Killer.
That's definitely an influence. Yeah.
Although I will have to admit, I hated Driller Killer. I thought it was a terrible movie. But
wasn't it worse than The Dummy? The Dummy.
The style was awesome.
Yeah, the style is the star of that movie. And I think Miss 45 is a way better movie. But I guess there's little things in Driller Killer that I like. Yeah, it's bonkers, though. I agree.
Yeah, so is Anatomy Maestro. It's pretty bonkers, man.
Yeah.
And the nicest way.
We had such a blast making that film. And I was focusing on a highly stylized aspect of the movie. And, you know, we wanted the colors to feel like candy, the pink jacket. And I sent Addie a reference of, like, I wanted her to have some kind of leather jacket for texture. And I wanted pink. And she found that at a thrift store. And I sent her the money to get it. And it was great. Yeah. She put together a lot of, like, her night outfits. The one that I put together was the surgery outfit, but she put together that, like, going out outfit and the outfit in the school scene, which, if you notice, her outfit is kind of similar to Ed's outfit. And real quickly, I just want to mention the woman eating spaghetti is a Russian actress named Yuna, who I was going to another film, and we were going to film in her apartment because she said, my apartment is very old. It has a style. And she sent photos. And so, yeah, all the locations for this film are free. And pretty much what went into the budget was the special effects blood, the gun range, and feeding the cast and crew, and safety riots. Pretty much everything else was done, you know, and some of the wardrobe and some of the props, but it was done for a very low budget. Yeah. Very quickly. Like 3 days. Yeah. Sorry.
You say, Jay Mike?
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to ask what your budget was, if I could be so bold.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the budget was around, all in all, the reshoots came in later, I'd say probably 16 or 1700. Yeah. So 1,600, 1,700. But, you know, you got to remember that the camera and stuff I already had for free as a package, and you know, the actors I'm friends with, so they helped and did it for free, and, you know, they really wanted to do it. So yeah,
it's amazing what you can do with such a small amount of money now, especially if you've got a lot of friends that are talented enough to be in your project. It sounds like you've been doing this for quite a while. As you said, you've produced a few different movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. how many have you been involved in?
Oh man. So I've directed a lot of short films. And again, you know, some of them are like Anatomy Maestro, where like a camera, you know, a cinematographer will reach out and say, hey, I have this camera, I want to shoot something. A lot of these shorts have been put together super, super quick, super cheap. I believe IMDb, I've directed around 16 short films, and I've produced around 5 shorts. Some of them aren't on IMDb. Some of them are still in the works. You know, I direct, but I'm a very good producer in terms of just resources and putting a movie together in the most efficient, affordable way. And I've produced for some friends, but honestly, I really love directing, and you know, that's, I guess, where my focus is. So I'd say, yeah, about 16 short films, but some of them very, very low budget.
Right. Okay.
But hey, that's where you cut your teeth, though, right?
Yeah. You know, it's great.
Before we let you go, is there anything you would like to tell us about Knights of Night?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So right now, I'm making this gonzo. It's how can I put it? It's kind of like The Warriors meets Fast Times at Ridgemont High meets Orange.
Amazing. By the way, sorry to interrupt you right? But if you're obviously, I see that it's not finished wrap. You've not wrapped it yet.
No,
right?
We have so much more to shoot. Yeah.
Good friend of ours, G-Tom Mack, actually has a song in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And he also, you know, Cry Little Sister for Lost Boys.
I don't. I've seen the film, but
yeah. So the main theme for it, that's him. So he's done films. He's put music to so many different films. If you're a big fan of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I suggest that we connect you both, and maybe
I could put
some music to your film. He just done one called Pig Killer. You know the film Pig Killer?
Was that one of the ones that was shown at, like, let me see, was it shown at Sundance or something? Or
I think so, yeah. Well, G-Ton Mac done the full score and the music to that. I mean, G-Ton Mac, he's the, like, a musical chameleon. Like, he just does, he just knows his music and his stuff. But if you if you're still at that point, then what better way to have the Fast Times at Ridgemont High than have G-Ton Mac himself?
Oh my God, that would be like perfect fit for this film. It's very stylistically, the characters, they're not in high school, but style wise, it's similar in the ensemble sense and the musicality. So that would be amazing. Thank you. Yeah.
I love that. Definitely to connect you both. That'd be pretty cool.
Let him know that I'm a huge fan.
No, for sure. He's done everything, so I think it'd be amazing. So Knights of Night, when could we expect to see some sort of trailer, teaser?
So Knights of Night, there is an Indiegogo teaser that's available to watch, although a lot has evolved with the film. And essentially it's a film about a band of vigilantes, very, very punk, you know, nuclear punk style group. If you've seen the Derek Jarman film Jubilee, aesthetically they're kind of like that film. But anyway, they have face paint, crazy face paint. And they go in and they execute, they lure pedophiles like Chris Hansen and they execute them on live stream. And then later in the film, they go after an Epstein Island like situation on a farm and ambush it.
I knew that there was a flash of Epstein's face. And that made Maestro, right?
Yes. So it's very, the film's very pop. It feels very 90s, 80s, incredible cast of actors.
Yeah.
And right now, I have to keep this under wraps, but a producer has just come on board. And he is officially the producer off the books, and eventually he'll want to do a... you know, put it in the trades, but he produced a very successful horror film that came out, I think, 2 years ago. Two years ago. He's fully on board. And what happened was essentially we put an Indiegogo. One of the executive producers, she is an influencer, Neme Noldi, and she was promoting Knights when we were doing the campaign, and his wife saw it, and now he's on board. And we're trying to get the rest of the budget for the movie, and I think we're going to finish it this summer. We've shot 10% of it. Actually, my friend, my childhood friend Jared, who does VFX, he's currently, right now, he's sitting next to me.
Oh, nice.
He's currently here. Yeah, he's doing VFX.
Process never stopped.
Yeah. So he's doing the VFX for the live stream on the phone for a close-up.
Amazing.
So yeah, I'm actually, the film is in the works as we are talking.
That's amazing. Hey, that's a behind the scenes. That's essentially behind the scenes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And again, yeah, and
that's a first for the podcast.
Shot with these cameras, and there's these black ProMist filter, glass filters that give it a very hazy Wong Kar look. But yeah, if you'd like to see a teaser of for the campaign, it's on my Vimeo, it's on Instagram, and I think if you guys are into like the Warriors, Clockwork Orange, Fast Times,
hell yeah.
That sounds Fast like an Times. Interesting mix, man. That's an amazing mix of movies.
Fast Times, I had that on
as well.
So many years. See how you were saying the producer the film.
Don't start guessing because he has to keep it under wraps.
I'm just saying. What type of horror film?
you'll find out very soon. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I gotta try.
He's an amazing guy, though. Truly a very good producer and really believes in the project and is pushing to shoot the film on Handycam still, you know, even if we get the intended budget. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with what you've got as well. We have King Kush here said powerful. Ben says reverse snuffers.
Yes, it's a bit of a snuff film. DeLargean, I don't know what that means, but cool word.
those are some of the nicest words we have on the show. Sometimes people tune in, always usually positive, but some of the words that they come at me, not too sure. Eh? It's been a pleasure chatting to you tonight, of course.
So great talking to you guys.
Yeah, I will message you on Instagram, and I will absolutely. I'll direct message you, and I can connect you with Gton Mac. Please have a chat. Yeah. See where the chat goes. He's very much always open to getting involved in projects. He's always got his writing hat on, so that'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool to see that happen.
And hey, I would love to come on whenever Knights is finished.
Of course.
Probably yep. a year from now, but would love to talk again. You guys are great. Anytime.
Definitely. Oh, you too. We do these things called watch-alongs quite often as well. I've not done one in a wee while, so we're due one, where we get some really, really low-budget, terrible film. Usually it's like The Beast or Bunny. What else have we had, J-Mac?
Ouija Shark. Yeah, that was an interesting one.
Crazy films that were deliberately bad, but what we do is we watch along with everybody in the chat, and believe it or not, people tune in and they watch this stuff with us, and we all have a good laugh. It's to be really easy. You should come on one of them with us.
I would love to. That sounds so much fun.
So definitely, we'll definitely connect again.
Let's do that.
It'd be amazing. Exactly, definitely. So thanks again. Everybody can go ahead and check out Anatomy Maestro. I always say Maestro, but J-Mac correct me. Maestro. I'm bad with words. There's Janice saying, I love the watch along. See, Janice, she does. We've made her watch something.
Awesome.
Definitely. So yeah, you can watch Anatomy Maestro on Arrow Player, and you can watch all these great shorts. And we're really looking forward to seeing, you know, what comes next for Arrow and what comes next for Drew. Knights of Night will definitely be something we'll be checking out, and let's see what happens in the meantime. Eh? So again, thanks, and it's been an absolute pleasure, Drew. So definitely stay in touch, mate. All right.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you guys.
Thanks again, buddy. You too, mate.
Chris, have a great night.
Have a good day,
buddy. Thanks.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. That was excellent. That was class.
Yeah, man. It's a really fun. Is it fun? Is it a fun movie? I don't know if it's fun. It's just fucking bonkers. It's awesome. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's the good thing about shorts, though, is, I mean, this one was 11 minutes long, including credits, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You could watch 10 of those in a row. You see 10 stories, all very creative. Mm-hmm. Some of them are groundbreaking. Really,
I know, right. Like that. What I like about it as well is the fact that they install a little here, like a concept, a great concept, but it leaves you wanting more because you've seen the initial idea of something, but where it can go could be a lot bigger. Eh? King Kush says, thanks, really nice stream. I'll check out your channel. Drew, my friend Ev, told me about this. Oh, thanks very much, King Kush. If that's your real name, we're here every Sunday live. This week we've been live nearly every night with these Arrow short films, and we've had the opportunity to speak to some really amazing people, really talented people. A huge thanks to everybody at Arrow, everybody at Fetch for hooking us up with this. And of course, if anyone has any films, anyone has anybody they'd like us to chat to, anything interesting, especially where it comes to films and pop culture, that's what we're all about, especially film. We're every Sunday talking about one film or another. That's literally what we do. It's all we do. It's our life is embedded in films and physical media and all that stuff. So thanks again to everybody that's made this possible. And everybody that tunes in, Janice, you all need to do another Paranormal Patter also. Do you know what? We're due one of them. And we will. We absolutely will. We've just had so much going on, but definitely.
What's funny is Wee Fee messaged us out the blue tonight as well. I think that's some serendipitous shit right there.
Serendipity. And
I just said, I missed an N. God,
not only that. But a wee spiritualist reached out to you or not and told you to watch it for something. So it's all spooky.
Aye.
You want to reveal what was said?
I'm going to get another arse abscess. No, I'm not going to talk about it again.
You're scared. You're scared in case you bring it into fruition.
Yeah, I'll just leave it. I'll leave it. I'll blow it into the ether.
Matthewman says, check out ABCs of Death. I will. Do you know, Matthewman Forever is always recommending us stuff, and I've got a list this high, and I just need some time to go through it because it's amazing. And there's a lot of the stuff you can find on the Arrow Player. So make sure that you go to the Arrow Player, subscribe, get your wee free trial, check it out. Tarantino himself says that he's glad it exists. Tarantino only subscribes to the Arrow Player. He actually doesn't. No Netflix, no Prime, nothing. That's just the Arrow Player. Right?
It tells you something, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does. It tells you that art is art and artists can appreciate art.
Or maybe there's just a lot of feet on it. I don't know.
Hey, Meat Friend could have a... Remember we said that, eh?
Feet Friend.
Feet friend. That'd be great. That'd be great. So thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. It's been absolutely fantastic. We have no more scheduled interviews, but we do have a few more short films to watch. So if we don't get those interviews, we will still watch the films and we'll come on and we'll talk about them and we'll urge you all to watch them. But if we get the guests on to talk about it, then
all's the better.
Be with us every other night for the rest of the week. Been a pleasure, of course. And we will, of course, see you this Sunday for a proper normal episode. But watch the space though, because I get a wee email say, "How are you for this time?" We say yes. All the prep work goes in, scheduled, and we all meet here at this time of the night, which is great, by the way. Thank you, everybody at home. Give yourself a wee round of applause. Like, it's so appreciated that there's so many of you here tonight to actually tune in when you could be doing anything. You could be watching something on Netflix right now. Instead, you're here tuning in for this, which is amazing. And the support to all the indie filmmakers and Arrow players is brilliant. So
yeah,
make sure you follow them on social media. Make sure you just do what you can do.
Quick question. Asking for a friend. Mm-hmm. What are we doing on Sunday?
You'll see when I'll declare it when it goes live, and you'll just like every other week, J-Mac, I'll put it up and you'll see it.
All right. All right, that's what we're doing. Cool.
Don't worry, you'll have plenty of time to prep all that. I've got like, you should see all my prep here.
Mine is so easy, man. I watch a film, I take notes, and that's all I have to do.
Oh no.
Yeah, no. you're a great producer, director.
Thanks, man.
Creative.
Thanks, man. and you're shit. You're a great J-Mac too. I'm just kidding. But again, thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. It's been amazing. And if you are new to the show, feel free to hit the subscribe button. You can also find this episode as soon as we say goodbye tonight. It exists here forever. You can also check us out, Audible, Spotify, everywhere. Share it with your friends if you liked it. If not, just leave us a horrible review. Tell us how crap we were, and we'll just laugh at it. Because life's
we'll read it out in the show. Let's do that.
For sure. Life's far too serious enough without getting bummed down like trolls or nothing. But we don't even get any trolls. That's the thing. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We don't actually get any trolls. Is it because we're so insignificant?
I did. Remember that dickhead that kept coming on just giving me abuse? And still no idea who he was.
I know, but I think it's because I had to block him. That's the only reason he doesn't come on now. But he had something in for you, like, just did not like you.
I mean, how can you not like this? Prick.
True. Janice says, "Have a good night, y'all. Love y'all." Janice, our sentiments to you and everybody watching tonight. Thank you guys again. Make sure you go ahead and do exactly what I said. Do what I say. Nah, definitely show your support to all the brilliant creators, and we will see you guys, if not before Sunday, we'll see you guys Sunday night, where we will be back with another live show. Oh, I was trying to wrap up there, but Matthew Moon came in. Right, I'm going to set up another account for Sunday for the trolling.
So it was him that we blocked.
You're right. One thing we'll never do is block Matthew Moon. Thanks again, guys, and we will see you Sunday at the latest.
Yeah. See you then.
See you later, guys. Take it easy. Bye. Goodbye.